Brothers and sisters, respected friends and young people, our discussion chapter for this afternoon is the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. And this chapter concerns a great deal of things. It concerns sin, the acknowledgement of sin, repentance, prayer, prophecy concerning the greatest of all sacrifices, redemption for God's people, and also for all mankind who choose to obey. It also contains a prophecy for the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and then once more, the destruction thereof. The first thing we notice when we look into the book of Daniel, chapter 9, in verse 2, is that Daniel was a studier of the Word. This has already been mentioned this week a couple of times, but this example cannot be overstated. He understood by the books we read. He didn't just understand Brother Jim's or Brother Phil's talk. He got down and he read it for himself. He understood by the books the word of Yahweh by Jeremiah the prophet, the duration of the captivity of his people. He knew that the 70 years where the city of Jerusalem lay desolate was coming to an end. He had read the words of Jeremiah the prophet over and over and over again during his time in Babylon. Daniel knew all of the prophets that he had the writings of. We know Daniel had been the head of the wise men in Babylon. Another time the third in Babylon, in power. And he'd only increased in knowledge as he had got older. He didn't become stagnant. He didn't backslide. You only become wise in something if you put effort into learning about it. You get out of anything what you put in. If you put no effort in the truth, you certainly won't get anything out of it. Daniel says in verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord God. I'm glad Brother Lenny actually read this, because he corrected a few mistakes that we have written in our English Version Bibles. Brother Lenny read Yahweh Elohim, when really this is a mistake here, and we have the Lord God. The first word there, Lord, is actually Adonai, but it's a mistake. There's actually 134 of these mistakes. And in this particular chapter, there are 10 of them. Taking away the reverence of the most holy memorial name of Yahweh, which we know is so very important to our Creator. As we continue in the next few verses, we see Daniel giving himself to prayer, to fasting, to putting off on of sackcloth and ashes. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts. Do these words maybe sound familiar to something we might say? We have departed from thy precepts. Sin separates us from God. It separated God's people from him. And we know God will certainly not clear the guilty. Daniel recognized this, and we must too. We, like Daniel, need to give ourselves to prayer. We need to remember some of the things that Brother Bill spoke to us of this morning. Verse 7, O Yahweh, righteousness belongeth to thee. Daniel recognized this fact. but unto us confusion of faces. As Brother Burl brought out, we again have a bad translation. Confusion is better rendered and translated as shame. Shame, embarrassment, red in the face because of sin. And this is how Daniel saw God's nation, God's people, separated and estranged and ashamed because of sin and iniquity. It was during this time of intense prayer that Gabriel appeared unto Daniel once again. Because as Brother Fred spoke to us earlier in the week, Daniel was a man dearly beloved. Now Daniel's prayer has been covered by other brethren, so we're going to move on to the message that Gabriel had, the message that Yahweh gave to Daniel through his angel. A message so important that it wasn't given in a dream. It required visitation by one of the very few named angels we find in the scriptures, Gabriel. Verse 24 starts the difficult part of this chapter. We know the image in chapter 2 so well. We learned it when we were in Sunday school. We see it pretty well every gathering we go to in one of the lectures. So it's ingrained in our minds. But some of the other prophecies, like the ones we did earlier today and the ones we will continue to do, are a little more difficult to understand. So I'm going to try and explain this message as best as I can. I know it looks like we're not going to have a university math class on the board, but it's probably the best way to do it is to actually write it down instead of just telling you a whole bunch of numbers. The overall message is clear. There would be a period of time from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince would come. Gabriel told Daniel of four different time periods in this prophecy. I've written them on the board. We have 70 weeks, 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and 1 week. Verse 24 starts out like this. 70 weeks are determined. Brother Thomas uses a word taken from the Greek, heptades, to replace the word weeks. Heptades actually means a group of sevens. Others have simply used the term sevens. So we could read this verse slightly different. 77s are determined, or 70 times 7, or 490 are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. What would happen in this 490 time period? As we continue in verse 24, we're given a list of events that would take place. And they're as follows. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. To seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. These things must occur within this prophecy. Then Gabriel breaks the 70 weeks into these various time periods that we have under the 70 weeks here, the 7, the 62, and the 1. Know therefore and understand, verse 25, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. The start of the prophecy mentions 70 weeks. Again, that is the period of the whole of the prophecy. When we look back in history, we can see that it was actually about 490 years from the command to rebuild Jerusalem until Christ. That gives us a missing part of the prophecy to work with. The 490 are indeed 490 years. Therefore, we can use the formula of one day for a year. So our 490 are actually 490 years. And we find that this formula can be used in other places in the scripture to prove prophecy. And we find it fits very nicely with the prophecy of the 70 weeks. So we could start verse 24 again by simply saying, 490 years are determined. But to find the starting point of this prophecy, it's not as easy as you might think. Because there are actually four different commandments in the time period we're talking of proclamations, of commands, of decrees to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. I've put these periods on the board here for us to see. They are in Ezra chapter 1, Cyrus, the king of Persia, issued a decree in his first year. 18 years later, in BC 522, Darius, in his second year, restored Cyrus's decree. 53 years after that, Darius issued his decree. Artaxerxes Longimanus, in his seventh year, issued his first decree concerning this subject in BC 469. And 13 years later, a second decree by the same man in his 20th year, BC 456, we find the fourth of these decrees. This was issued to Nehemiah when Jerusalem was laying waste. And this last decree is believed to be the one connected with the 70-week prophecy. So, within these 70 weeks, or 490 years, as we have said, there will be other time periods broken down. The first one we want to address is the period of 7 weeks. 7 weeks, or seven heptades, seven groups of seven. And using our formula of 1 year for a day, 7 times 7 is 49. 49 years. So something would happen that would take 49 years. And we know, looking back in history, that it took 49 years for Jerusalem to be rebuilt, for the wall and for the city to be rebuilt. That's what this first period is talking of, this first period of 7 weeks. And we know we can read of this in the book of Nehemiah. The next period in our prophecy is a period of 62 weeks, or 62 heptades. 62 lots of 7. 62 times 7, which equals 434. Again, using our equation, we come to 434 years. So after the first 49 years, the first 7 weeks, we have this 62-week period, which would extend through the end of the Old Testament period. It would go through the time between the Old and the New Testament. And this 62 weeks would extend into the time of the New Testament. To to the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the time of Messiah the Prince. And this period sees us through the Babylonian Empire, through the Medo-Persian Empire, through the Greek Empire, and into the time of the Roman Empire. In verse 26, we see the phrase, "After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." You might be thinking, this is rather strange, that the Lord Jesus Christ would not be cut off for himself. There might be a few red flags going up, and if you were inclined to the clean flesh theory, this might fit with what you believe. But that's not exactly what it is saying. Instead of "but not for himself," we find it's better rendered, "and shall have nothing." Or as Brother Thomas says, "though nothing will be in him." So the Messiah would be cut off, but he would have nothing in him. What wouldn't he have in him? Iniquity and condemnation. Yes, he still had sin manifested in the flesh, the same as all who have come through Adam's line. But he was innocent of transgression and condemnation. The last period of this prophecy of 70 weeks is mentioned in verse 27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall be cut off." This period of 1 week is equal to our, by using our math formula, to a period of 7 years. 7 years. If we cut the years, the 7 years in half, we have 3.5 and 3.5. We know Jesus ministered for 3.5 years. But we have a bad rendering here again, because it was not in the midst of the week. What this is actually in the original is the week is divided. Divided into two halves. We have the 3.5 year ministry of our Lord and Savior, and the period introducing him in the time of John the Baptist. And the first half of this week did indeed belong to the works of John, preparing the way of the Lord. This would account for all of these 70 weeks. When we add up the 7, the 2, and the 1. When we read in verse 27, "He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease," we understand that this was because of the sacrifice, because of Christ's sacrifice, but only for those who would come into covenant relationship with Christ through the waters of baptism. For those who did not, they would foolishly continue in sacrifice and oblation. The everlasting righteousness spoken of in this prophecy is only possible through this great sacrifice that was prophesied. The 70 weeks had to be fulfilled so the Most Holy could be anointed. Our Lord, who rose on the third day, was indeed anointed and is now certainly for us prophet, priest, and king. This prophecy also mentions the abomination of desolation that will come upon the beloved city Jerusalem and upon Yahweh's people, when the city and the sanctuary would again be destroyed. It speaks of the flood at the end of the prophecy, of Roman soldiers after the 70 weeks would expire, that would flood down into Jerusalem and once again destroy the holy city. So for Daniel, there would be joy, understanding that the city would be rebuilt. And we know that was in the time of Nehemiah. The nation would return from exile, but sadness, understanding that this rebuilding would only be temporary. But what a wonderful prophecy for Daniel to hear of Messiah the Prince, Yehoshua, Yahweh's beloved anointed one. But for me, the real beauty of this chapter, the real beauty of the sacrifice and the forgiveness that comes from that sacrifice is found in almost a completely unrelated chapter. To get to 490, you have to multiply 70 times 7. And we can remember when Peter in Matthew asked the Lord about forgiveness and how often he should forgive his brother. Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. 490. Christ did not just pull this out of the air. Like Daniel, who read the books, Christ also knew the scriptures. He knew that the 70-week prophecy was concerning his sacrifice. He knew that this was the sacrifice for all time. He knew that this was the perfect sacrifice for sin concerning himself, and how that forgiveness would come because of this. And brethren and sisters, each of us here should be very grateful for the things that were prophesied in this 70 weeks prophecy, when true forgiveness is available for all who truly repent, for you and also for me.